the way that he had it phrased was almost as if Darius Garland's skill set was of what LeBron currently is, and that's just not even close. LeBron's still really good. He averaged 25-8-8 last year.
Yeah, I think there's a lot that goes into the assessment that, you know, the Cavs don't need LeBron, or and I just think sometimes that we get in our feelings a little bit because LeBron has left twice.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, you know, if he wanted to really be here, we are very, if you don't want to be here, don't be here centric type people.
Mm-hmm.
Like we carry that on our sleeves. We don't like when people leave. We want people that are going to be here. But more than I want people to be here, I want to win. And when you talk about LeBron still being a top 10 player, there's a different level of intensity that he brings to your organization. And for what we're talking about, the Cavs, it isn't their skill set. We talked about it's the Cavs' willingness to fight, the Cavs' willingness to have the intensity.
Yeah, like Terry Pluto was on yesterday with the morning show, and they asked him, like, can you learn how to be tougher, basically? And he went through example after example of different ways that he's seen in covering Cleveland sports over a million years about guys that have become tougher. Now, he used a lot of baseball players. He used guys like CeCe, for instance. But, yeah. Why wouldn't that be able to translate? And getting around someone like LeBron, I mean, forget about the actual skill set for a second. Just being around LeBron, there's no way that doesn't give you a different mindset, a different focus, a different everything else.
Yeah, it's one of those. And I think a lot of people, when they say they don't want certain people, it's not that they don't want their certain skill set. It's like they don't like the pressure that comes along with it. We talked about Shedeur Sanders, right?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people didn't want to take Shedeur Sanders because they were like, well, I might have to have like this scrutiny and people watching me. And people are going to want him to play, and people want to talk about him, and I just don't want that headache. And a lot of people are like, I don't want the same headache that comes with LeBron, because it's going to be talked about like this is a championship or bust type atmosphere, right? Who can handle
it? And it
that?
Will be. The moment you make a trade for LeBron, that trade that we're talking about involving Garland, involving Allen, you're not title or bust, but you're about as close to title or bust as you can get.
And that's the talking point now.
Which is fine. That should be the elevated expectation. Shouldn't be something to run from. You should be like, thank goodness we have these expectations, because that means we are the best team in the East. We are the team that people are coming for. You should embrace that. You should wrap your arms around it.
And I go back and listen to this. And this is, I think the further and further we get away from the season, we tend to do this when it comes to the Cavs. We tend to just, we go from we're upset to, okay, well, it wasn't that bad. Listen, it's not just about last year.
I'm still upset.
I still am too. It's not just about last year.
But you're right. People are rewriting it. They're starting to tell themselves it wasn't that bad.
It wasn't that bad. We're one toe injury away. You weren't one toe injury away. What are you talking about? You guys, you got beat 4-1 the prior season with the Celtics. You got beat 4-1 the prior season against the Knicks. Mm-hmm. What did you lose? 4-1. These are different. This is Indiana, New York, and Boston. By the way, in the play-in game, when you had an opportunity against the Hawks, you lost the play-in game because you couldn't stop Trae Young on your court.
Yeah, they won the Nets game, lost the Hawks game. Yeah.
So my thing is, where have you grown enough? And Donovan Mitchell sitting on that bench over there by himself is him internalizing, do we got what it takes? Because this is the same thing. We're getting beat up. Because at this point, the legacy is on him. He's the best player. They're looking at him. He has the most.
On Donovan?
Yeah. He has the most to gain.
Well,
the most to
I've gotten in arguments now there for the past couple of days with people suggesting that Donovan would take this as some sort of, insult to try to even go after LeBron, or he wouldn't be welcoming to have LeBron. And I think that's one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. You tell me Donovan, who's never made it out of the second round, isn't going to welcome and open his arms to having LeBron and James on his team? What are we talking about?
It's like no disrespect to nobody, but if they wanted to bring Stephen A. Smith in, give him and I'm like, you know what? It's disrespectful. Stephen A. Smith is here. I'm going to take all them ratings. You know how my
That's
take,
right.
my
You're
take's
right.
going to be crazy.
Rising tides lift all boats, right?
I'm over here
we're all getting some ratings.
I'm like, let me get these notes together. I need to rebuttal this. I know. Hey, what's that rundown, Jonathan? Yeah, give me that early. I need to. What are you talking about? You got a chance to win at the highest level, and you don't need LeBron? Come on, man. I don't know where this comes from, man. I don't get it. Like, you don't just turn down that. And by the way, the Cavs are the best chance for LeBron to win the championship.
So that's what we're asking. Do the Cavs give LeBron the best chance for a title? And I like that Kirk kind of put it out there. All right, if I rank them as the number one team in the East, is this the reality? And we got to throw every team in the mix here, right? So I'll give credence to the idea that if he goes to Dallas, he's there with AD, who we played with. He's there with Kyrie, who we played with. Obviously, they got Cooper Flagg. They have Klay Thompson as well. But Jason Kidd, he's got a relationship with him. He was the assistant coach when LeBron won that bubble title. Like, there's a lot there, but you're in the West. The West isn't very good. But how about this Knicks team? Let's go back to the East here. If he's on the Knicks, and let's say the trade doesn't involve Kat, doesn't involve Jalen Brunson, so you got Brunson, you got Kat, and LeBron.
They going to
shut it down?
They shut it down.
I mean, like,
you're not
like
winning.
Yeah, and that's another side of this too that I find interesting as well. If you get LeBron in a trade, you're then blocking a team like the Knicks that we're talking about from acquiring LeBron and shutting it down as well.
So, and here's what I want to say for the Cavs people that say they don't need him. Okay, well, let him go to the Knicks. You're not winning. You're not. First of all, you didn't beat the Knicks when they had nobody on their squad.
Yeah, when it was Mitchell Robinson. Then.
And what's the little left-hand guy they had that used to play for Duke? I don't even know his name no more. Is he in the league?
Okay.
What's his name? Used to play with Zion Williamson.
R.J. Barrett.
R.J. Barrett gave you buckets. They jettisoned him. R.J. Barrett gave you buckets and Brunson. You going to tell me you going to give him Cat? You going to give him Brunson still? They still got Mitchell Robinson that's smacking Jared Allen up and down the court. What are you doing? Like, you're not beating that team.
No, I mean, if LeBron ends up with the Knicks, they have to instantly be the East favorites. So you see how this works both ways. It's not only just watching him go to a different team, and while you don't do anything in the process and you don't shake the snow globe and mix it up at all, it's then watching another team get that much better.
Yeah, and then you're going to have to deal with the fact that, look, Darius Garland, if it's between Donovan Mitchell, Evan Mobley, and Darius Garland is already an odd man out when it comes to it. He's a max player.
Mm-hmm.
He's a max player, guys. So if it comes between, okay, well, we need to keep somebody has to move because of the second apron and salary crap, who's the first dude off the boat?
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, you're going to have to move him regardless. I wouldn't move him for free. But if you're talking about an opportunity to win a championship with a shortened window, I think for LeBron, it makes the most sense in Cleveland.
It makes the most sense because it's a team that already has finals aspirations before you even add LeBron to the mix. And then you add LeBron to the mix. I just wonder how many teams this extends off to.
He has a young big man that's a defensive player of the year. A shot blocker, rim protector, mm-hmm. and Evan Mobley.
And by the way, I don't think it gets in the way of Evan Mobley the way that some people do.
No. Donovan Mitchell is a guy that is your bona fide assassin scorer. He can carry the heavy load. He has the same mentality of he's going to go out there and play. I think those two guys would mesh very well. And you still have a plethora of shooters around. It works. Like, if I'm LeBron, I'm like, listen, those guys could do the heavy lifting.
So now we've hit this part of the segment, though, where I'm looking around and I'm wondering if it's just the two of us that are insane or probably. Whether or not. Okay, because I feel like there's a lot of people that were big mad on that old Twitter.com website, and they were getting ready to. Yeah, I get it. Cavs fan 6969's got a lot of opinions on this topic. But I just don't see how anyone can look at it as a nonsensical thing to add LeBron James to your roster.
Yeah, I think it's more coming from a feeling of their feelings. They're a little hurt.
Or maybe they just look at it and say, it's not happening, so why even bother? Where Brian Windhorst has unlocked that door and said there's every possibility that he does get traded, but I think a lot of people are still thinking we're just out here in fantasy land until you actually see something happen.
Yeah, and plus,
people don't like to entertain the fantasy. You and me do. We do. We like to dive into that world, and we will go down that path, but for a lot of people, it's just a non-starter because they just can't live in a world where it even comes to fruition.
I think you and me are correct a lot. There's a lot of shadowy rooms and conversations. Go back and look out about how LeBron came back the first time.
Or just look and see how involved the Cavs have been in all of these other trade discussions and free agent discussions. Yesterday, you had the report from Shams. They were involved in DeAndre Ayton. Okay, didn't see that coming out of anywhere. How about the Kevin Durant rumors?
With Darius Garland and Kevin Durant thing, that was wild.
Did anybody have that on their bingo card? I certainly didn't. But then you find out these things after the fact. Like, I think there are things happening in some of these shadowy rooms that you talk about.
And by the way, I think LeBron understands that this is not a coincidence that he did a podcast with Kevin Durant.
Oh, no, not at all. Did you listen to that podcast?
Yes, yes.
I did, too. A lot of butt kissing, man.
Yeah, a lot of you the guy, you the best scorer I've ever seen.
I mean, it was a little much for me.
And you know what LeBron basically said? Hey, listen, the Rockets are very good. They couldn't beat the Nuggets. The Lakers couldn't beat the Nuggets. They're still intact.
Yeah.
They couldn't beat the Minnesota Timberwolves. Those guys still have and the guys that they got and Julius Randle. There's a lot of teams in the Western Conference that are very good squads. And I don't think LeBron looks at his Lakers team, even with Luka, as a team that can get past these guys. If you can come over to the East and hang out, and the only thing you got to do is beat the Knicks.
Mm-hmm.
And you're LeBron, and you're like, I own the Knicks. I dominate in Madison Square. Why would I not go over here, post up? And now, if he was a smart man, he would understand. If your time to catch Jordan is now, the time is now, bro. If you want to pass it up this year, you might want to go ahead and figure things out. Because right now, I think this is a perfect opportunity for him to put himself in the best chance to win championships. Mm-hmm. And I didn't think it would be possible at this
LeBron, age. Fire up a Red Bull. You're staying up late tonight. Figure out a path to Cleveland. Let's make this happen. 216-474-0092. Adam in Lakewood up next. What's up, Adam?
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Thanks for making it. What's up, Adam?
Man, you guys are lining right up with my point of view. Guys, I got to tell you, 2025 was the year for LeBron to come here, because we would have accommodated his wishes with Bronny Jr. I firmly believe we would be well beyond the second round. And I don't know now. To get LeBron now, we have to give up some pieces, correct?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but we have the pieces to give up.
So, see, in 2025 was the perfect year to do it. And in your point of view, my thoughts are, Mr. James, he's not on the championship train anymore. Here's my thought, sir. If he came last year, he's looking at, obviously, our great team he could join. He's looking at a legit shot to get to 6 championships. And with his age and our talent, we can manage his time. It would have just been great. And I don't think he's on the desire to win championships.
And so, Adam, I get your point, and I appreciate you. He's got to get on that timeline, because if he's not, what the hell is he doing? Like, we let you, G. Bush, we let you in many ways as an NBA community. We said, fine, you want to go to Los Angeles, you want to make Space Jam 2 so nobody can watch it and we can all critique how bad it is. You want to get on your podcast ventures and you want to go all Hollywood, go right ahead. But as long as he was winning titles, we were accepting of it and saying, at least you're going for it. Now that the Lakers, as of this moment, aren't really in the championship window, they're trying to set things up for Luka, we do get to turn around and say, what the hell are you doing, LeBron?
Yeah, I think, and I asked the question, you know, when we had our guests on, I said, hey, listen, do you think he's still in that mode? I happen to think LeBron James is in that mode. And the reason, maybe for a couple of years he wasn't. I think he wanted to ride the thing out with Bronny James, but I didn't ever foresee Luka Doncic going to L.A. I don't think no one saw that in the crystal ball.
Right.
That changed the trajectory.
Right, and it was no longer his design team either. When it was him and AD, he had to feel ownership of that.
Now, how much of a farewell tour are you really going to get like that? Like, it's not like, you know, Kobe was there when he got his farewell tour, and they weren't really a championship caliber team. He just rolled off into the sunset.
But he was cool just throwing up 30 shots a night and just getting as many points as he possibly could, and it was what it was.
And LeBron tried to throw that out there, and I think that people was like, listen, bro.
We got to expect more out of LeBron than we do Kobe in this instance.
Nah, bro. It's about these rings, and yeah, you still playing like a top 10 player. But what are we doing here? You're not winning in
LA. I just don't believe him, because you're not the person that when you went to Miami, all you did was talk about the rings. You're not the person that made all these different declarations and decided to chase the ghost of MJ and make that the line that you used to then be like, I don't really care about the rings now.
No, I think he's reignited some of those thoughts and fire, and he's looking at it like now, like, well, if I really wanted to go to over here to the East, I think I can really catch this dude.
He can. He knows it. The door's wide open. 216-474-0092. Do the Cavs give LeBron the best chance of a title? We'll continue with your phone calls, continue with your tweets and your reaction. Garrett Bush, Jonathan Peterlin with you guys right here on Afternoon Drive.